Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Hello and welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Life Class. Today I am excited to be talking about how to fall in love. This is an episode for you if you are currently dating, if you are in a relationship of some kind and you want to kind of see the ebbs and flows of where you've been. And it's for you, even if you've been in a long-term relationship, to be able to understand how the two of you met and fell in love. And it's a chance and opportunity to honor your love story today. So welcome. I'm Christy Bemis. I'm an author, a speaker, a psychotherapist, and a sex and relationship coach. And I'm really excited that you found me today to reignite with your passion, with your purpose, and with your play. In addition to Blog Talk Radio, I recently launched a brand new YouTube channel, Living Authentic as Fuck Lives. And I really want to invite you to go over there. And you can find me at Hot Pink University on YouTube. And find me talking about all kinds of things with my guests who show up because they're living authentic life. I'm so excited to have you here, and I always invite you to find me on the web at www.hotpinkyou.com or on Facebook at Hot Pink University with Christy Bemis. You'll always find ways to be inspired to reignite your life with passion, purpose, and play. So let's dive in. Today we're talking about how to fall in love. And I want you to think of Hot Pink University life classes as things you wish you would have been taught back in high school. What women need to know that we weren't necessarily allowed to know or taught, and we had to figure things out on our own. Get a journal, get a pen, dive in. So how to fall in love. I love this topic so much. Because as many of you know, as a 50-plus-year-old woman, I recently entered into the dating scene and am in a relationship now. And it's interesting for me and my partner to look back and see the progression of that relationship. And even if you've been in a long-term relationship, I want you to think back to the initial days of spark and love in your relationship. And I'll give you a couple tools of like how to get that back, you know, what are some practices and tools that those feel-good feelings before life maybe got heavy for the two of you can spark you and get you back into some playfulness with one another. So today's program, I'm going to be talking about a four-stage process that we go through in our bodies, our hearts, our minds around the excitement of the initial meeting and attraction. And I'll also take you through a couple of other models that are out there that kind of parallel process this four-stage process of falling in love. And I want you to think of love as very secular. It's not like this linear, like first you do this, then you do this, then you do this. As I lay out these stages, there might be times where you and your partner go back a stage or, you know, move around and play within a couple stages. And so these are just models that kind of formulate what's happening to you and what's happening in your mind and your heart and your body as you are really moving through the phases of love with one another. So welcome. So I'm going to overview the four-stage process. There's the stage one, which is the initial meeting and attraction stage. And I'll talk a little bit about what that is. And then stage two is curiosity, interest, infatuation. And then we have stage three, which is enlightenment and kind of becoming that couple, right? And then stage four is commitment and engagement. And this is the process I'll be following. There's not really any like literature to cite on this. It's cited so much. It's like such a known entity out there in terms of like content that finding the original author of something like this, the four stages, would be very difficult at this point. It's like when things hit mainstream and then trying to cite and find like who is the original source of this, you know, that's a little hard to do. And so this is a four-stage process that I'll take you through today. All right. Other models show us a process that moves from euphoria to early attachment stage to then a crisis occurs in the relationship and then falling into deep attachment. And there's even another model out there that talks about the infatuation and romance stage, then a challenge stage into complete trust and sexual exploration, then into stability, commitment, and co-creation. So think about your own partnership that you may have had, may be coming out of, or may currently have right now. And think about the stages that you went through to follow. I want to share with you, I do coaching around, especially around dating, and especially around dating after leaving a longer-term relationship, let's say, or dating in your midlife. And I want to read to you a testimonial that somebody recently wrote up for me after working with her for just a handful of sessions. I got so much out of working with you. I think the way you approach these topics is really down-to-earth and accepting and made me feel comfortable from the very beginning. You also really validated how hard it is to go through divorce, something I really needed to hear that day, week, or month. I reflect all the time on that first exercise you had me do, erotic movie. It was really a turning point in me getting to know that part of myself, like realizing a part of me exists that appreciates the erotic potential of life and what that can look like. Imagining the details was helpful and then opened the door for me to getting to really love that part of myself. I do have fantasies and erotic ideas, and I can play with them. It was really special that working with you came at this point in my life where I'm dating after a long time away from being single. In our last session, you helped me think about my profile, and that was super helpful. I'm looking forward to that first date walk this week on a whole new level of excitement, getting to know this new person because you offered me some fun ways to parse out who they are sexually and what they are into. So much of what I learned from you is about normalizing talking about sex in the erotic and how talking about it can be fun and sexy and doesn't have to be awkward. When I'm in my next partnership, I feel way more prepared to ask for what I want and need, sexually and otherwise. I feel empowered and emboldened, and that's such a great feeling. Working with you has been transformative. So I just got that in this week, and I'm super excited to share that with you because that's what I do as a sex and relationship coach and sometimes even in psychotherapy. I'm able to weave and incorporate a lot of the somatic experiential exercises that I've learned over the past year myself, and also some of the explorations I've done in my work over the last 5 years plus as I've worked on myself and growing my own knowledge for me, for my relationships. So let's dive into the four stages. The first stage is that romance. And so some of you are out there and you're dating brand new again. And it's kind of scary. And my partner and I are going to be talking about like a silly blog talk program coming up soon where we talk about like dating profiles and, you know, do's and don'ts and things like that. That'll be super fun, but we haven't scheduled it yet. I'll let you know when that's coming. But when you're in this phase, when you're first meeting one another, that initial meeting, that initial attraction, like, there's something here, right? It can become all-consuming, you know. romance is all about that thought process in our minds about finding the perfect mate, which is a fairy tale. You're never going to find a perfect mate. But in this phase, in this early stage, you come to find the idealized version of him or her that you're dating. And there's all kinds of biochemical changes. Like, can you remember this explosion, this cocktail of hormones? Dopamine, which is all about the reward center. It's highly associated with like addictions too, right? And it's all about lighting up that ding, 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 ding reward. And so there's a high explosion of dopamine that's happening. There's also a chemical called oxytocin that's being released. And oxytocin is that feel-good chemical that binds us, it connects us. It's the same chemical that mamas have when they're breastfeeding their babies and their their milk is dropping into their milk sacs and the baby is like bonding with them. It's the same chemical we have after an orgasm, but we have releases of that chemical in this initial stage, really bonding and connecting us. The downside of this particular cocktail, this particular oxytocin, is that sometimes we miss the red flags of our partner. And they might be right in front of us, but we ignore. And so the caution around this cocktail is to go slow. You know, it's dating. And the great Helen Hillock, who I did a lot of psychotherapy training with in a women's group around who I was after getting out of my marriage and who I was wanting to be as I moved into the dating scene, she really supported me in looking at dating as opportunities to practice, to find out who I am. And so there's lots of dates that I went on during this time where maybe this cocktail was happening, but I also was, noticing like, boy, there's some red flags here. You know, maybe it was a date that I had and the person, I was looking at their use, you know, of like how many cocktails, like literal alcoholic cocktails and not this brain chemical cocktail, but how many cocktails were they having? Because that was a really big, important feature for me in moving forward in my life, is to not be in relationship with somebody that was in addiction or that had problematic use of any kind of substance. And so it was something that, was at the forefront of my mind. And that's why we date, because they're practices. We can go slow. And so when somebody that I was dating was subconsciously ordering that second, third drink, you know, I had to kind of slow down and say, where is the intentionality of like consumption for this person? And have those tough conversations if I wanted to continue the relationship, right? And so the other chemicals that are being released are endorphins and I'm going to say this wrong, enkephalines, which are like natural narcotics. And so they're ignoring these incompatibilities, right? There's also a high release of serotonin where it gives you that feeling of oneness with somebody. And in this moment, in this phase, there is no neediness. We see our partner as really strongly independent, maybe, and we see ourselves as really strongly independent in this phase, and that we're not moving into that phase of like neediness or getting our needs met. And so, yeah, there's this rosy outlook, increased energy, heightened perception, and everything is technicolored, dreamboat style, right? Then we eventually move into this stage two where you do start noticing the differences. Maybe some issues arise. Maybe the things that initially you thought was kind of cute are now starting to annoy you. This is the phase where some power struggles might enter into, and your perception of getting questioned. And their perception of your perfection starts getting questioned, which can be really hard because, you know, you want this like perfect love for somebody to see all that you are. And it's easy to hide our flaws and to, not to keep the bathroom door closed, let's say, as you're going to the bathroom, right? It's easy to hide those flaws. And then in this phase, it's like the bathroom door is cracked open and there's a little bit more exposure to, like, the reality behind the doors. And maybe you don't wake up in the morning, run, brush your teeth, and put your makeup on and jump back into bed. But the reality of, like, who you are is starting to show up. And you start asking yourself, like, why aren't they more like me? And I love, I'm going to give you a couple of resources today. One is Getting the Love You Want, which I know I've referenced in other times, other Blog Talk radio programs. But I want you to think of it like this. Here's a quote from page 31 of the book. We yearn for what is joyful connection and sensation of feeling fully alive that we experienced as very young children. This becomes a spiritual yearning for connection. And as in Plato's myth, we develop a profound conviction that finding the right person, that perfect mate, will somehow complete us. And then later on page 32, they write, the person you are most likely to fall in love with is someone who has both the positive and negative traits of your parents. Your capricious old brain is seeking this reparation from someone who resembles the very people who were your source of your childhood challenges in the first place. And so it's super interesting in this phase to really start noticing and recognizing attachment theory. I think one of the biggest resources I can cite for attachment theory that has been such an invaluable thing is Stan Totkin's work on Wired for Love, but also Jessica Fern's work in Polysecure, which I really encourage people who are starting to date again to look at that. Not that you're looking for the polyamory lifestyle. The Polysecure book is more than that. It's also a book, I think, for those that are seeking monogamous relationships, to really take a look at why you intentionally choose monogamy over multiple relationships. Let's be intentional about our choices, not just what we're socialized into thinking. And so Polysecure offers that other look into, yeah, why do I believe that I need to find the one? Why aren't there multiple loves out there for me, right? And I think it's a really great, the first part of the book is one of the most incredible outlines of attachment theory in current life that I've seen in a very long time. So I encourage you, Jessica Fern's book, Polysecure, is great on that. But that first phase of love feels very much like, being in the arms of the best parts of your parents or caretakers growing up. And the sentence they talk about in the book, Getting the Love You Want, is almost like, I know we've just met, but somehow I feel like I already know you. Because there's this attraction energy around some of the dynamics of what is familiar for us. And the second stage is kind of this phenomena around, this is really peculiar, but even though we've been seeing each other for a short time, I can't remember a time when I didn't know you. So the second phase is really about this phenomena that Harville Hendrix and his wife Helen McKelly Hunt talk about as the phenomena of timelessness, like time is suspended. And there's such good feelings around that. The third meaningful sentence that they talk about in the book, Getting the Love You Want, is, when I'm with you, I no longer feel alone. I feel whole and complete. And they talk about this as the phenomena of reunification as love deepens. And then this final declaration of, I love you, I can't live without you, the phenomena around necessity of you are part of an integral part of my life, and I have a deep, deep sense and abiding knowledge of belongingness. And so as we enter into the second stage, this is kind of at the exclusivity or commitment, and more needs begin to arise. what's needed in this stage when you're entering into the stage of dating and relationship is conflict management, learning how to de-escalate conflicts and power struggles when they come up. And it's not a sign of you should break up. I think people need to be aware of that. Like, our relationships either heal us or they rewound us. And if we can learn the valuable skills, start recognizing the patterns, and stay with things, even though they might be difficult, sitting with difficult feelings and emotions. I know my current relationship has grown me in ways that I never knew was possible. I'm a very avoidant attachment style. I think I can live on an island by myself for like years and be totally okay. I'm one of those people that the pandemic actually helped, didn't hurt. If I don't have to leave my house, I'm great, kind of thing. And so the relationship has really grown me of I can rely on connections. I can rely on a partner to meet my needs. I can rely on, you know, somebody to learn my love language and really desire to speak it, even if it's hard for them to speak it, even if it doesn't come natural because it's for me and that's what's important, and vice versa, the give and take in relationship. In stage three of the relationship is disillusionment. The individuality of who you are as a person starts emerging from the we. You start questioning the commitment and noticing what you need to work on. You start requesting what they need to work on. The personality trait you love the most really begins to be a flaw and be a concern. There can be provocation in this stage of love, falling in love, where you fly into battle and less energy is being invested into the relationship. We're starting to invest that energy outside of the relationship again. So you might have been deeply, you know, neglecting your work, and then now in this stage you're really recognizing, oh my gosh, I've totally put that book writing project offside, or I totally completely, you know, need to rebalance my work and love life because I've been kind of all consumed and like eaten up, right? We start as a couple in this space facing our issues and our problems. We start showing one another affection, and we need to start a gratitude practice with each other. We need to start routines and rituals of connection. This is when sex and intimacy can start sliding into a routine or ritual that doesn't feel good. And so it's learning that the erotic and the intimate connection and the sex in our relationship needs to be a priority so that you can have that be a sustained priority as you move forward in love. So an example is the other night, I was working like the other day, 8 to 10 hours with clients. And then I had a late night call for the marathon that I'm running, a half marathon that I'm running in June. And I chose to skip the call so that I could be in intimacy and connection with my partner. This is the phase where life can start taking over. And if we don't prioritize the very valuable pieces of our partner and the connection, and we put it at the bottom of our to-do list, we start forming really bad patterns that will move beyond these four stages and embed themselves into our relationships. So this is a really crucial stage, the disillusionment stage. Your brain wants to see all the evidence that supports all the things that go wrong in this phase and ignore all the things that are going right. This is a phase where you're almost in battle with yourself of, do I commit, do I stay in this commitment, or do we not? Do we move forward? How do I not lose me in the we? And so we're really in battle with fighting for our freedom, our values, what we want. This is the phase where we don't want to settle. We don't want to just endure again. And especially if you're entering into second or third or fourth or fifth relationships, you don't want a repeat of what you had experienced before. And so how do you and your partner talk about these things? Where is connection and intimacy? And have you moved into conflict styles that are not going to grow the two of you? This is a great phase in a relationship where getting some help and support and coaching would be super valuable, so that you can start establishing really beautiful patterns of connection. You can start creating the vision of what you want your relationship to look like 5 or 10 years down the line, and you can start establishing really great routines and rituals with one another. Then we move into stage 4, which is the decision stage, and it's sometimes for couples at a breaking point. It's like the fork in the road. You're considering exiting, leaving, stay, or do nothing and be miserable, stay and work on things and your skills and your attachment styles. It's really a point of personal growth in this fork in the road in your relationship. It's really a place where you have to start looking at your attachment styles and asking yourself, how is my attachment style avoidant, secure, or anxious? How is my attachment style influencing and impacting my decision here? And is this a good partner that's healing me, or is this a partner that's rewounding me? Can this person be my safety and security, or are they really giving rise to a lot of things that are rewounding for me and that I will never heal and grow in this relationship? And so it can really be a place where you make a decision that is best and that you're not enduring and that the two of you are not settling. This is a place where sex and intimacy not only survive but thrive beyond the chemicals that it takes to be in the relationship in the first place. Can a conscious effort be made in the relationship to really learn to grow? And then we move into a last stage, stage 5, which is wholehearted love. If you've made the choice to not depart, to leave, and not just endure but to grow, this is the rewarding and healthiest place. You can still have individualization and self-discovery and also connection and commitment and intimacy. You start recognizing and accepting your partner's imperfections. And you start realizing there's no such thing as the perfect match. The fallacy of the fairy tale starts coming to the forefront. It's important in this stage that we listen well, that we lean into discomfort together, that we bring out the conflict and talk about it. It's also super important that you play a lot, that you play and that you laugh and that you're still having sex and having joy in your relationship. And that you follow self-care so that you can follow dreams and goals and enjoy the journey together. So I hope you enjoyed the various phases that we went through. And as you enter into this last phase, there's also a lot of unconscious biases that can run its gamut, run to the surface around, now I'm in this commitment and who am I in partnership and what roles and responsibilities? So it's a time that you can start negotiating those. If you've been in a long-term relationship, can you look back and see the 5 stages and how they played out for you? And in what ways do you want to renew that with your partner, turn towards your partner, and reevaluate maybe some of the routines, rituals, and connections? I encourage you to reach out to me. I offer 30-minute consultations that are free, and you can explore what is working with me really like. What would coaching in sex and relationship really do for you? How would it grow your long-term relationship or your brand new just starting out relationship? We are coming to a close, and I want to wish you in this season of love and Valentine's Day, whether you're in partnership, you're currently dating somebody, you're looking to date, or you've made the choice to be by yourself. I embrace all of it, and I hope you do too, because wherever you're at is exactly where you need to be. And if you're experiencing some discomfort, out of discomfort, what can you grow in terms of loving yourself and reaching out and calling in love from another? I'm Christy Venus, and I so enjoyed being with you today. I want to remind you that there's so many great episodes on Blog Talk Radio. Check out all of our other episodes, and I'm bringing on guests this year. And so I've so far had two guests, and their episodes are listed as well. Thanks for another great 30 minutes plus of hopefully some inspiration and knowledge as you move through love. Find me at www.hotpinkyou.com. And join my email list. I have this great new email newsletter that goes out on Fridays. It's called Five for Fridays, and I give you tons of valuable resources. And again, I invite you to drop in to a 30-minute consultation and learn about my couples coaching and my individual coaching. I would so love to work with you to create the best life where you're reignited to your passion, your purpose, and hopefully your play. Be well. Good girl.